This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 882. I am Lisa Sheps, your host for the day, and I am joined by my incredible co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every Wednesday, KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. On the show today, we have different stages in their show, Stage Blood. And then later on, we're going to be talking to Ground Floor Theater and their traveling show here called Katsura. Hold on, stand by. I've got to read it. Katsura Sunshine Rakugo. And of course, we're going to have lots of talking about theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Tokyo, and Montreal. Don't go away. When everything's so wrong. Okay, it's clearly going to be one of those shows, Nicole Shiro.
Tokyo.
It's going to be one of those shows. I'm stuttering.
It's one of those weeks, and it's totally okay.
It's going to be crazy. I'm checking in with you today.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. It's a crazy week. It's warm.
Crazy.
What's going
good.
On?
It's warm.
Summertime.
All right. Summertime. Summertime.
Give it to me. Tell me all about it.
All right. Before I go on to the next piece of business, I'm going to introduce the people who are here in our studio with us. We have Norman Blumensaat. Hi, Norman.
Hi.
And Kelsey Mazak.
Hello.
And also Mr. Will Douglas.
Hello.
It is so good to see you all. I feel like I haven't seen the three of you together. Ever? No, I don't know. Maybe not together. But I think it's been a long time for all of us to be here in the studio together.
Yeah,
probably.
Not all of us, but each of us.
Like together and not individually.
No, I'm talking individually
things.
Too.
I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, all right. Norm's been around. You've been coming in and out still, hanging out with us on the show. We love it.
Okay, well, I have to do this first. This is the thing that I have to do right this very second.
I'm going to put headphones on?
No, I'm gonna turn off the microphone so everybody can hear it. You ready?
Here
we go. This is just, I'll explain after I play it.
Happy birthday to
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Nicole Shiro. It's tomorrow.
It is.
Or in Japanese, happy birthday.
We would say Mokoyobi.
Mokoyobi.
And birthday would be Tanjoubi.
That's my favorite ice cream flavor.
Mokoyobi?
Mokoyobi.
Yes, tomorrow, Thursday, tomorrow.
You are going
tomorrow
to be 27.
I'm 18. I'm always 18.
18. Okay, well, all right.
18.
All right. Okay.
18.
I'm
going
to say okay to that. Well, but I just want to wish you the happiest of birthdays.
Thank you, Lisa Shops.
You're welcome.
That was very nice.
So that song that we heard, it's called, hold on, I've got to switch pages again. Where Am I Now? It's from Lysistrata Jones. And Kelsey, you were asking me when it was playing, we were off the air, what that was from. And then you said, I thought so. Do you know the music from Lysistrata Jones?
A little bit, not a ton, but it sounded like Lysistrata Jones. But also, the Jimmy winner sang Lysistrata
yes,
Jones.
Yes, she did. Which is that's exactly why that? I'm playing it. So the Jimmy winner played. The Jimmys happened over the past week, and the Jimmy winners are Asamiya Posadas, who we just heard sing "Where Am I Now" from Lysistrata Jones. She is from Posadas of Sala Point. It's a Catholic high school in Tucson. You said, do you know that? Did I pronounce that right? Because it didn't sound like I did.
It's Catholic. It's LaSalle, though. Did you say LaSalle?
No, it's Salpointe. S-A-L-P-O-I-N-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you Catholics out there help me? No?
No.
That's right.
Okay. And the male winner is Juke James of Milton High School, who, of course, was my father's name, in Milton, Georgia.
Duke James is a good stage name.
It is a good stage name.
Any alliterative name is good. And he, and I almost played this, but it would be too much log rolling, I think. He sang It's Hard to Speak My Heart from Parade.
Mm-hmm. I literally heard it on the way over here. Him singing it, yes.
Oh, I did not go and watch their performances. Was it good?
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You're able to watch the whole individuals and the whole show up until tomorrow, June 25th.
I know. I have no
idea. Also, all on TikTok. Where?
Mm-hmm. At Jimmy's YouTube, but you can go to the Jimmy Awards.
Okay,
all
right.
And it clicks all through there, but they have everything up on their YouTube till the end of tomorrow.
Yep. So those two winners, they each get a $25,000, could have been pennies.
That would be
$25,000 scholarship towards their future education. And we had... I don't know what this means, but we did have an Austin.
London made it to the final six.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But we take my glory away.
Go ahead. We were scrolling. I was just saying, I got to work with these kiddos, so I'm very excited and very proud. And Isaiah would made it up into the character groups and got to do solos within the character performance of the event. And London got $5,000 scholarship. And her and the other finalists are all featured individually besides the whole video. And so is the ceremony, the opening and closing numbers and the different groups, like with Isaiah in it, are all featured on the Jimmy website also. So proud of them.
There you go.
So proud of them.
Me too. All right. I can't find
what I was looking for anyway. The one who won, Jana, what's her name, right? The one from Arizona?
Her name is...
The one at the Catholic high school we were talking about.
Samia Posadas.
This is her third year making it to the Jimmy. Third year going to the Jimmy's to represent and just winning. So...
Wow.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, that's great.
But this is the first year no one in Texas has won in over 6 or 7 years. Someone from Texas has always won.
Texas is a big state.
I know that, but I'm just saying Texas is rolling out the talent. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm really glad that wasn't around when I was in high school. I would have been brutal. That would have been.
I can only imagine.
High school performing arts, so we would not. I'm not eligible for that.
Oh.
Oh, can you not if
high
you're
high school
at a
performing arts? Aren't eligible?
Huh. So like McCallum.
Did they exist?
They didn't exist back then.
Dallas,
but
you went right.
Yeah, but they're not.
Yeah, I don't think they exist.
None of them are a part of any of the regional programs.
So some of the the host this year was Bowen Yang.
Bowen Yang, they went like a pink route.
She's just gonna say right. She's gonna finish my sentences, which I think is good.
Well, they went like a pink route this year.
I don't know what that means.
Well, pink is like Broadway adjacent, and so is Bowen Yang. He's Broadway.
Oh, pink. Okay.
Broadway adjacent.
I see. Yeah. I also went
that
different
direction. I went
probably.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like a theme, and I was like, I didn't notice there was a pink theme.
No, Tonys. This is the junior high school version of the Tonys, and they gave it to Bowen Yang.
Yep.
Of wicked fame.
I get it, but that's not Broadway. They went from the Groves.
I know.
Well, to Bowen Yang. And I love Bowen Yang, but they went from the Groves to Bowen.
Yeah.
And before that, they've had a lot of, I don't know. What an experience for them.
Yep. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the things I should say right now is that the opinions expressed on offstage and on the air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, or underwriters. It's just mine. So you may not like what I say, but I'll just say it. So like if you... think that Bowen Yang should have done it? I'm sorry to have brought up that controversy. You just have to know that it was not the co-op board of directors that said that about Bowen Yang.
Or Pink.
Well, we agree about Pink.
We do agree about Pink.
I kind of agree about Bowen Yang, too, but I like Bowen Yang. I like Pink.
It was confusing.
I like Pink, too. Doesn't make sense.
But she was amazing.
Yeah, she was amazing.
She was auditioning.
Still doesn't make sense.
But she said she wouldn't go to Chicago. They asked her. They were like,
who
what about
go to Chicago?
Pink? Because they were like, look at how good you were. You should be in Chicago.
Be great
and she was like, no.
But
oh,
no.
Did she say that?
Yes.
Oh, that's wrong.
I know.
I now do not like Pink.
That is Lisa Shep's opinion only. That is not mine.
that is the official co-op board of directors opinion about Pink. No, I'm kidding. Of course. So Broderick Hall has a new...
Todrick?
Todrick Hall.
I like Broderick Hall. Broderick Hall is a great name.
Yes, that was
but
his,
it's not that dude.
That was his original name, who I did not know about until he did that. He did a
thing here.
A thing. Well, yeah. I don't know. It was here. Did he do a thing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did he do here?
He did a musical workshop.
I think. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
No, he did. There was a thing of a video that went viral with him singing something with somebody.
Oh, wow.
That
I remember
video?
That.
Not that one.
That was so good.
It was indeed.
I remember that.
Anyway, he's got a new musical called Midnight. And I think we've actually talked about this on the show
before. We did talk about
it. Yeah, because as I'm reading this, I'm going, this sounds really familiar. Yep. But it explores class, empathy, and identity through interconnected characters in the 19th century American South. He's been working on it for 6 years. There are sold-out engagements in London, which is maybe why we talked about it.
No, well, we also talked about him recently, too, because he probably doesn't want me to mention this, but he worked on the burlesque
yes.
mount over in London
yep.
that was quickly opened and quickly closed and quickly panned and not well-received.
Mm. Okay, well, that happens.
So. Yes, but it was like there was a lot of drama, like Rebecca's set burning drama with people and stuff.
Well, Midnight is coming to New York at the Daryl Roth Theater this fall. And that's it. It's a sung through show.
Okay.
An STS, we like to call those.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be the acronym.
Yeah.
I like that because you know the difference between an acronym and initialism. Norman does. Yeah.
Norman knows
everything.
I wish we had our camera still working in here. Because
I do
that
as
was a
well.
Fantastic response.
Okay, I don't know how y'all will feel about this. I know.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. So you know the sphere in
Vegas. Yeah.
And they've got the Wizard of Oz going right
yeah.
now, which I really want to see.
Right.
Seems cool.
It seems amazing, but we have some facts about that I didn't know that I learned when I read this. But do you know what's coming to the sphere?
I do.
Tell everybody.
It's just a jump to the left.
Yes, it is. They're doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the sphere.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That'll be cool.
I think that, so the Wizard of Oz, I think that's cool. But they don't know what's going to happen to it, what's going to do. I didn't realize that this
Bet
kind of
you
stuff.
They won't ban the audience participation.
I'm sure they'll be fine with that. But the Wizard of Oz, first of all, is happening right now. They sold 3 million tickets.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
$400 million in revenue.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But with the Oz, they did a lot of work. They changed a lot of it. They got rid of 25 minutes of the runtime.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
cut songs.
What did they cut?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't tell
still.
You, and I forgot. And a friend of mine went. My friend said it was fantastic, though.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah,
the
because
cuts
it's
I've
not.
Seen.
It's a totally different thing and experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's
so
spectacle.
You're not going in there going. I need to watch The Wizard of Oz. Like, so, it works, and I get it. But I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why they cut 30 minutes from The Color Purple, but they did.
Yeah, but also that, anyway, it works.
And
the
it
new
still
version
works.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and this apparently and worked.
Why did they cut 2 hours out of the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child?
Well, that was two different shows.
I know. But
that wasn't cutting
was
2 hours.
It was one show.
It was
done
two different
Yeah, but it was really
shows.
One show. It was very much like Nicholas Nickleby did the same thing back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah.
So, anybody have any opinions about...
No, I think it's a smart choice to do with... film like
are they
with
gonna
the
do the same thing where
I
they're like
they could do the
expanding
I don't think
the picture because yeah. that's what they did they're like
yes they would
yeah,
be
they
doing
interesting
in
so which means they couldn't have the shadow cast easily I think
I'm sure they're building and doing something
oh,
because
I bet you they are.
My cousin's
maybe
gone
you can have
a few
multiple
different...
shadow cast
so my cousin areas. Loves going to concerts there and he's gone a few different concerts. Some people just stand there and don't utilize the space.
Yeah.
Why you booked the sphere I'm not quite sure.
Yeah,
some have built their own sets and have done different things, so I don't think it's going to be like the Wizard of Oz. I think they will
do their own thing
and do,
yeah.
Yeah. do something different.
What's going to work with this.
Oh, I agree.
That made sense.
But we'll know when they start doing promos and people go.
Yep, we will. I'll go see it. Maybe not. Nicole knows I'm not the biggest fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, you're not. That's why I was laughing. I was like, really?
I've only seen it once in 1977. I should probably go give it another
shot. And that's
shot.
What that's where your opinion is still stemming from?
Yeah, I can't. I need to give it another shot.
You should.
It's been on TV many times.
You missed that great revival in 2000.
I did.
With the
I did. Well,
Dick
I'm talking
Cabot.
About I'm talking about the picture show, not the
I know the movie.
The, yeah.
I know. So, make sure they have audience participation.
That revival is you just have to
play. Yeah, you can just watch it tomorrow.
Make sure you have audience participation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's I think that might be the part that I don't like. That might be the part that I object to.
You will discover it's not the best film the other way.
Speaking of crazy shows that come from movies, The Warriors.
Oh, this is just Lin-Manuel so bizarre.
Miranda has got a Broadway opening and a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is Lin-Manuel Miranda will not be performing in it.
Well, it's all female cast.
Yeah.
So
have
I
you
don't
listened
know how
to
that
music?
All female. The gang is female. The whole cast may not be all female.
No, just that gang. I think.
It's just the gang is a female gang.
It's such a weird topic in movie to make a musical.
Wait,
out
it is.
Have you listened to it?
Do you know the original?
Yeah, I only after though. My fiance knew it, and so we watched it because he knew the "Can you dig it?" And like I didn't know any of that.
So my roommate at the time in 1977 was in it, so I thought a lot.
Yeah. That's disturbing.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to go to the LaFontaine Theater in April. It's going to be directed by Jenny Koons and Andy Blankenbuehler. They're going to.
I love saying his
name. He's going to co. Me too. He's going to co-direct, and he's also going to choreograph. He, of course, choreographed Hamilton, which might, you know, they think about it, may do something, that show, that
it
Hamilton.
Might.
May go somewhere. Anyway, they don't have cast, other than that Lin-Manuel Miranda is not going to be in, which I think is a smart move.
Mm-hmm. The music's really interesting, because he collaborated with, like, a lyricist poet, I think.
I just don't the whole context, the story, it just doesn't make sense.
Norman, did you see the movie back in the day?
Make it a musical.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Warriors?
No.
It was a cult film in the 70s. It's about a whole bunch of gangs, but one particular gang was falsely accused of killing another gang, and they have to get from the Bronx to somewhere else in New York without
dying.
Coney
Island, I think.
Yeah, Coney Island. Yeah. And then there ends up a big gang
Sharks
convention?
And Jets type vibe. But
it was a convention of all the gangs coming together. Anyway, it was crazy. The famous line for me was, "Oh, Warriors, can you come out to play? Yay!"
Yeah.
Anyway.
Creepy.
But that leads us to our next thing, which is the lack of musicals, new musicals, that are happening on Broadway these days.
I know which article you're referring to, but they took two and said, except these two, and one of them's my fave.
Right. Well, there are two scheduled for next year, and one of them is indeed your favorite.
What's your fave?
Little Paddington.
Of course.
Paddington.
Will has a special relationship with Paddington.
Will, mine's more special.
Those are my sick movies.
So,
I'm sick at home, I just put on Paddington and
I was obsessed with Paddington as a child. I dressed like him. I wore little tags. Please take care of this bear. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
You were
like
cosplaying.
I'm like, never watch movies. I know all the books. But yes, Paddington is my.
The movies are great.
Spirit animal. I know.
That Ben Whishaw.
So right after COVID, right after the pandemic, we had a lot of new musicals. There were 14 that opened in 2024, and then 15 in the season before that. And then last year, six new musicals. And the music was so crazy that they only had the best musical Tony. Only two of them were from musicals. Mm-hmm. The other two were from straight plays in the nominations. So there's a large article in the New York Times. You can see this for yourself by going to offstageonair.com and clicking to this in the show notes, or you could just go to the New York Times website and look at it yourself.
I found that article interesting, and then I got insulted by the next article I read on there about all the shows to see this summer across the United States.
I did not read that
one.
I didn't see it.
And then they, because then they get to the South and they include DC.
Oh,
and
so
Maryland,
south.
I was like, wait, hold, slow your roll, not south. Atlanta, okay, I get
that one. Yeah, that one can pass.
And that was it. I was like, and they did shows that were like newsies and Gentleman's Guide. So I'm like, whoa, you missed so many states. And I can tell you about some really good shows happening in this whole state besides Florida and besides some Louisiana. So what? I was very insulted by that. That was their South.
Maryland, well, realize that
DC, and Atlanta.
Texas is not considered South. We are considered Southwest, just so you know.
There was no Southwest section, but then they did the mountains and put Colorado in there. They did the West. They did the Midwest.
New York Times, listen to us.
And the New York East, but
fix this.
The South was those three, and like 10 states didn't get included.
Texas should have its own section.
It doesn't even
we should succeed from theater.
I'm insulted that there's like 10 or 12 states not even included and a third of the United States that is putting out extremely good work and you're sending people to
the markets that they're going to go to anyways.
Maybe someone was on a deadline and just forgot.
No, that's really bad reporting. I'm a publicist and work with reporters, so this is a lazy reporting.
Okay.
And a little insulting.
How do you feel about it?
It's insulting.
I will write to them on your behalf, Nicole.
I am too. I'm going to protest. I'll do better than that. I'm going to boycott.
Wow. It doesn't. I don't know why you think this is funny. It's not funny. We like all these other states should be included in stuff too. And how is D.C. and Maryland the South?
Okay. Agreed.
Where are the Carolinas? Where's the Virginias? Where's Tennessee?
I think I don't know, but I think Maryland was considered this. I mean, because the Southern, the Deep South is what we're talking about, and that was before Texas was even part of the United States, where they got those monikers. The South is, and that's why we're not considered part. Anyway,
but there's no Southwest, no Arizona, no New Mexico. Like,
all right,
it's a problem.
It's a shame.
Half the U.S. You're not on there.
By the way, Nicole's opinions are not those.
You can't tell people to go see your theater across the United States and not include half of it.
Well, it's the failing New York Times.
If you don't pick it in the region, that I understand.
Okay. So let's see. They're developing shows for Broadway, The Greatest Showman. I know how you feel about that. La La Land. And I think this one I agree with, The Princess Bride.
Oh,
sorry.
That was meant to be a musical.
Yeah,
I've said that since it came out.
Yeah, 100%.
These other ones are afterthoughts.
I did not know about La La Land.
But they also talked about it. I didn't either until just now.
Oof.
Why? Okay.
I did not hate the movie. But
I liked the movie.
That doesn't need to be on stage, I don't think.
I 100% agree. I don't think it would make a very interesting stage musical. There are some others that are out there that they'll make it in eventually, but that we're planning on coming in now, but are rethinking and retooling. That was Dolly, an original musical, Purple Rain, which you saw, didn't you? Didn't you go see it?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Hopefully they've done some cuts.
Yep. That's Purple Rain has a new book writer and a new director. The new director is Saheem Ali. The new book writer is Peter Duchin.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Purple Rain. They just gave new book writers and everything?
Yep, new director, new book writer.
The dad had a 20-minute soliloquy, but they cut some really big names to do that in there. It has really good legs, but it's 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Oof. Anyway, I won't go into depth about this, but I do see here that...
there's a few. They don't mention some of the musicals over in the West End that are opening that are coming here, like the Sinatra musical is about to go into previews, and that is... going to be coming over. Again, I don't understand why the Sinatra musical is opening in the West End and not New York. But
we've talked about this. Yes, I agree.
Make that make sense.
Okay, boy. I'm exhausted. Bards on the Bay.
Tell me about the Bards on the Bay.
This is just an interesting thing. It's a new... Oh, oops, that's the wrong button. I pushed the wrong button.
Yeah, but I love it. You're getting all your tabs today. You don't always get all the tabs.
So this is a new Center for Playwrights and Theatrical Composers in Wellfleet, Massachusetts. It's run by Paula Vogel, Michael Masso, and Grace Nordhoff. And they've got a 4-acre property that includes 6 Bauhaus style cottages overlooking Cape Cod.
I was about to say, in case you don't know, Wellfleet is in the Cape Cod area.
I see.
I know.
And they're going to be bringing playwrights in to do 3-week residencies.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Work new stuff. Make it happen.
But they're not going to require them to end their residency with new stuff in there. So that's good.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That's cool.
Yep. And
that Vogel will go somewhere, I think.
She will.
She might. She needs to work a little harder.
Yeah.
So this is a property that's been around for a while. It dates back to 1948. It was called The Colony. And they have served as hideaways, quoting with such artists as like Paul Newman and Faye Dunaway, amongst other people.
I love Paul Newman.
This program, I love Paul Newman. I had a pillowcase with his face on it.
Did you?
I was a kid. I did.
That's awesome.
No, but for
sauce.
Real, his salad dressing's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to say better that the co-op is not endorsing Paul Newman salad dressings.
Until his family got their hands on it.
I know, it has changed.
It's changed, and they don't use different outfits on all the different flavors
anymore.
I know,
anymore. It's all the
that
same
is
man.
Depressing. Paul was happy that way.
Paul wanted to wear his outfits.
Yep.
All right, we've got to stop. I want to talk about one thing really quick, like which we don't have time to discuss. I just learned about it today. Have you heard about this movie or TV show? I think it's a movie called The Debut.
Oh.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Didn't we talk about this?
I don't think
Tracy,
so.
Maybe Tracy Schultz emailed us.
I don't
us.
Think so. Oh, maybe that's
because
what it
you know why? He knows what's new.
It's a movie. It's about community theater. They just released a trailer.
He did. He sent
it
us this stuff on it.
Julianne Moore and Paul Giamatti.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jesse Eisenberg. And it looks
hilarious.
It looks hilarious. But it's community theater, and of course, the community theater is a 2,000 seat house.
Oh yeah,
but
that's
so true.
They all are. Right?
They all are.
It looks like
that's
a lot
as small
of
as you can go.
Yeah, we don't have time to talk about it, but you can go and watch the trailer by going to offstageonair.com or go to YouTube and search it. I don't care.
Oh, we didn't get to talk about some good stuff.
No, we
there.
Didn't. We have because we're running out of time. We need to have time to talk to our guests. Reba McEntire.
Yeah, I love.
Heard
her.
Of her?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, I got a nod out of Norman on this one. She was on Broadway.
She was in the Annie Get Your Gun. I
in
saw
the
her.
Annie Get Your Gun. She replaced Bernadette Peters.
She sure did.
And but alas, there was no recording of that.
There sure wasn't. Well, they made a recording. There was
they
no
made
released
recording. Correct.
Of it. But until what, Lisa?
Until right now.
Yeah.
So there is a recording. It's two songs.
Two songs. She dropped two of the tracks yesterday.
Yep. And one of them is You Can't Get a Man with a Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I Got Lost in His Arms. So we're going to go out and we're going to listen to Reba singing You Can't Get a Man with a Gun. We'll be
Reba.
Right back.
Reba.
I'm quick on the trigger. With
we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Yes.
And a host of other people.
That's
who we are
people.
Going to reintroduce right now for the real reason why they're there here. And that is Different Stages production of Stage Blood. Which is about to open at the Vortex Theater. And we have the artistic director and the director of the show and veteran of Offstage and On the Air, Norman Blumensaat.
Hello.
Hola. And we have two of the actors have never been on the show before. Will Douglas.
Hello.
And Kelsey Mazak.
Hello.
This is Stage Blood. Do you have a blood budget in this?
Pardon?
Do you have a blood budget in your show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tell us about the show, Norman.
Okay, so this is a comedy by Charles Ludlam. Charles Ludlam ran an off-Broadway theater in the 70s and the 80s and wrote almost 30 plays in which he starred and acted in. And he used an awful lot of classical plays as the basis of things. So Stage Blood is about an acting company doing Hamlet who has lost its Ophelia. We've
if
done,
I had a nickel.
Yes. Right. We've done two other Charles Ludlam plays, The Artificial Jungle,
another, right? Okay.
which is based on Thérèse Racan, a nice little page turner, or The Secret Lives of the Sexist, which is a mashup of Lady Windermere's Fan and the women at the Thesmophoria. So, and I'm old enough to have actually seen Charles Ludlam perform.
There you go. I have to say that Thesmophoria was my sorority name in college.
I really wish I had started a list years ago with all your sorority names in college because over the last decade, we have some good ones.
So many. Thing. All right, yeah. I'm sorry. I had to take that little tangent. When it comes to me, I have to say it.
So when you were in New York, did you ever see Charles Ludlam?
You know what? Maybe. My memory is not so good. I
okay,
can't.
Well, so growing up in El Paso, remember Time and Newsweek when they had theater sections?
Yes, I do.
Yes, though that's
Do you remember Time and Newsweek?
Yes, right. Well, that's how I discovered Charles Ludlam, because every once in a while they would review him. So, of course, every time I went to New York, Norman wanting to see a little bit of everything, I actually saw a Circle Rep once, uh-huh. and I saw the Jean Cocteau Repertory Company once.
Yes.
And, but
oh
I
my
saw,
gosh, I remember
I, Jean I saw the Ridiculous Theatrical Company, Charles Ludlam's company, three times.
Oh, I didn't know that was his company. Pardon? The Ridiculous Theater Company was his?
Pardon?
The Ridiculous Theater yeah. Company was his company. Okay, yes, did
yeah.
not know that.
Yeah, and I saw Reverse Psychology. I saw The Secret Lives of the Sexes. And I saw Exquisite Torture of Romantic Ecstasy, which was his comedy about the Baron Neroni and had an entire scene in Pig Latin.
Ig Pay Latin, Attenlay.
Yes, right. So, I mean, his thing was sort of, you know, you do these things seriously, but you also make fun of them.
Yep.
Which is why we have this strange mashup of this theater company and a fair amount of Hamlet that you'll get to see with these two lovely actors doing an awful lot of Hamlet.
Lovely. So tell us, Kelsey, what role are you playing in this piece?
I'm playing Elfie Fay. She's a Southern girl. She's just wants to be a star. You know what I mean? She just wants to be famous.
So she's she playing
Ophelia,
herself.
Is she the Ophelia replacement?
She
of
is,
course, because she
is,
knows
yeah,
the role.
I do. Oh. I enter and I know. Oh, I already good. Know it. Pre-memorized.
Get thee to a nunnery.
Yeah, we do.
We
do
that,
that
scene. Yeah. We do all the Yeah. most famous scenes.
Everyone's always wanted to see Will and I as Hamlet and Ophelia, so now you get a...
Have and are you Hamlet?
I am playing Hamlet. Well, I'm playing Carlton name? Stone, who is the kind of pretty naive son of the founder of the company, his father, Carlton Stone Sr.
Carlton Stone Jr. was my third husband.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So you know.
So, yes, he has sort of begrudgingly taken over the role of Hamlet from his father.
This sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, so his father did it. It's the whole role. This is a whole family thing.
It's basically a family-run theater company.
The father is now reduced to playing the ghost.
The ghost.
Which is a well, point of contention.
How
oh,
dare.
No.
Yes.
Because he might be a little aged to play
Shall
Hamlet.
We say yes. The horror.
A little long in the tooth for the
yes,
role.
Right.
Long in the tooth.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
It is a lot of fun.
Wild, yeah. It's
Where do we so I the
Here's
conceit,
the question. Is there a blood budget?
We already asked that question.
Well,
there
actually,
may be
there
some.
There is blood. We're a little bit of blood.
They did the cheap version, so there's no budget for it.
Well, you have to make a budget.
The great
a
thing
budget.
About the play and Ludlam is that, like Norman is sort of saying, it takes itself seriously but also doesn't take itself seriously. So mm-hmm. I like stage blood is both physical blood but also a metaphor.
Yes.
The way Ludlam is able to like intellectualize but also
make
it a farce, yeah. I think is quite brilliant.
I ask that question because Lisa and I love anything that has a fire budget, a water budget, or a stage blood budget.
Well,
it's just an ongoing
everything
joke on the
can
show
have
about
a budget.
That.
That budget can just be zero.
Sure. So, yeah. So that's just where it came from. It's just an
you know,
ongoing...
The unfortunate thing is the man died at age 42 just as his career was taking off, just as The Mystery of Irma Veep was being a huge success.
It tends to happen to the popular people. Look at the Gowdy and look at the Van Gogh. They all go down right before they get to see their glory.
I mean, he had been hired by Joseph Papp to direct Titus Andronicus. He had been in a movie, you know, and things were taking off, and he died of AIDS. At 42. And, you know, he's kind of like a 20th century Molière. He wrote all of these plays with his company of actors who worked with him an awful lot of time. An awful lot of them, they're gay plays, there's drag, there's serious things, you know, sort of all at one time sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, would this be like meta in the way that like A Noise Is Off is meta? Or is this just, is the conceit of the theater doing Hamlet a way to get the message across? And if that's the case, what is the message? What are we saying with this play?
Well, it's a father and son play. It's a father and son play. It's about, you know, passing on things to your son. And what is your son? You know.
Shouldn't they named it Cats in the Cradle? Sorry.
And I don't know. I suppose you could call it meta. I don't know. You know, those terms always like, leave me, what? What
well, like Inside about? Baseball, it's a play about, I think yeah, it's, theater plays like, about theater.
I think it's more legacy.
The thing about it is it's kind of all of it. It is meta, but it's also, you know, a very real play about, it's like Norman said, passing things on.
There's Inside Baseball to it. Like there's, you know, the more you know about theater, you'll get some of the jokes more than other people would. But it's more, about the relationship between.
Well, and you know, in his time, having seen Charles Ludlam, it amazed me. Every time I go, you'd see Charles Ludlam and Black Eyed Susan, and there would be a point in which they were stark naked. You know, we're not doing that. but you
it's
know,
not, I've seen shows that you've done where there's some stark naked.
So Will does wear tights though.
Oh, yeah, good. Is there a skull in the show?
Absolutely.
Okay, you just have to make sure.
What if there wasn't? What were you going to say if they had said no?
I think
no.
Lisa would have canceled us.
Yeah, I might not have. I might have. That may have been too much.
Just get the hug
for me.
And boycotted. Now,
that may have been it. Well, it sounds wonderful. How big is the cast?
Five.
Who else is in it?
Ev Lunning, Griffin, Griffin Gardner, and Zachary Gamble.
Oh, lovely.
And Ali Carrero.
So. And that makes six?
Yeah, it makes six, but Ali is both on stage and off stage.
Got it.
She helps with some of the effects.
And some of the crazy costume changes.
Yeah. And with a massive number of costume changes.
Yeah, she's kind
we
of
go from
unsung hero
Elizabethan to street clothes, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
A better you than me. It sounds like a lot of fun. It's something I will look forward to seeing. When do y'all open?
Friday,
that's day after tomorrow.
Yes.
It is.
Okay, and how long do you play?
Through July 11th.
You are correct.
and we do not play on the 4th of July.
Oh, well.
But we've added Wednesday that week, so.
What day of the week is the 4th of July on?
Saturday.
Saturday. Well, that's lovely. And you're playing at the Vortex?
Yes.
Where can folks go to get more information?
To the Vortex website or to the Different Stages website. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, please.
Seeing as we're having a mini gay playwright festival on Sunday, we're doing a reading of Oscar Wilde's A Woman of No Importance.
I have that in here to talk about.
Yes, one of his social comedies. It was the last one he wrote. It's always the poor sister of Oscar Wilde's plays, and I picked it because it seemed this year everywhere in the world, the United States, Texas, Austin, everyone was doing The Importance of Being Earnest. And it's like, can we see something else by Oscar Wilde?
Yeah. And so, last week we talked about the show The Importance of Being.
Yeah,
yes. The new music.
No,
it's
Earnest,
not the music. It's the Earnest. Of being. The Earnest. Yes.
No, you can't.
I can't.
So tell us again, Norman, when this reading is going to happen.
Sunday afternoon at 2.
Sunday afternoon at 2. At the Vortex?
At the Vortex, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for reminding me. I did have that as a note to talk about. Well, great. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Of course.
And I actually am looking forward to seeing this.
Yay.
Good.
Wonderful. That was Will Douglas, Kelsey Mazak, and Norman Blumensaat of Different Stages, production of Stage Blood. Playing this Friday, June 26th through July 11th at the Vortex. For more information, you may visit differentstagestheater.org or thevortexrep.org. And this is from Rockabye Hamlet, and it's called The Last Blues. We'll be right back. Close to no one, farthest from. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We're going to blast through our local section because I want to make sure we have time to talk to our next guests. I do want to say, here's one thing that's sort of a special production. Beyond August Productions is doing a two-day only show called Much Ado About Murder.
Murder.
At the Rosette.
Much Ado?
Much Ado About
that
Murder.
The little Rosette. What a little charming spot.
Yeah. And that happens June 26th and 27th. I did not write down the website, but you can get information at atxtheater.org. Shall we go through?
All right.
I'm going to start.
Okay.
Austin Playhouse has Seared plays through the 28th.
That closes this weekend.
Yep.
We got the Jesus Christ Superstar playing at the Georgetown Palace Theater through July 5th. And we also have Every Brilliant Thing running through July 19th.
Which I saw, both Sheard and Every Brilliant
Thing. Oh, yeah, you'd never seen Every Brilliant Thing. Yep. What'd you think about that?
It was good.
It's a charming little show, isn't it?
It's charming.
Yeah. And which thing, did you enjoy Sheard?
We're going to go on. I'm sorry, we don't have time to talk about things. City Theater's got A Raisin in the Sun playing through the 28th.
Ground Floor Theater on Monday has Katsura Sunshine Ragyo, Japanese Storytelling. That's the 29th.
And we're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes. Zach Theater has Annie playing through August 2nd. And, that's it.
Yeah.
Just Annie.
Austin Shakespeare has The Merchant of Venice playing now through the 28th at the Scottish Rite Theater.
Different stages.
It's the Young Shakespeare. I didn't say Young Shakespeare. Sorry.
Different stages. We just talked to them. Have Stage Blood the 26th through July 11th. Oh, and look, Zach Theater has Annie again.
Yeah. You know why? Because the sun will come out.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We had them on the show last year. We have Dear Dickies. Through the 28th at Hyde Park Theater. Only two auditions that I found. Archive Theater, The Yellow Wallpaper, auditions on the 26th. And the Texarts, who just announced a new executive director in Andrew Cannata. Congratulations, Andrew.
Yes.
Is auditioning for Boing Boing and the Winter Wonderettes on July 19th. Today in theater history is just birthdays.
Really? Nothing happened?
Nothing happened that I could find.
Really?
And a whole bunch of people I don't really know.
Okay.
But we have Michelle Lee.
Oh, we know Michelle Lee.
We have Laura Donnelly.
Oh.
We have Elijah Ray Johnson.
Why do I know that name?
I don't know.
Is it a recognizable face?
I had trouble looking her up. No, it's a blank. There's no picture.
Really? The name sounds familiar.
And Anna Luizus. Who is a, I did not know who she is, but she is a designer. Didn't say what kind of design, but she did a whole bunch of stuff. And then finally, one Beanie Feldstein.
Okay.
And no, I did not play, we're not playing anything from...
That's okay, from Funny Girl?
Yeah, from Funny Girl, but she was also in Hello, Dolly.
She was.
And we'll play a little bit from Hello, Dolly. This is the Bette Midler revival of Hello, Dolly. And this is her singing Motherhood from Hello, Dolly. We will be right back.
I stand for Motherhood, America, and the hot...
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole. Why am I not hearing myself in my headphones? Nobody knows. There I go. I just had to turn the volume up. Isn't that amazing?
It's funny.
Well,
and I checked the volume before.
And I did not have your microphone on. I tell you, this is one of those days.
It's magic.
The tech is killing me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm very excited about our next guest have here. Via phone, I am not sure exactly where he is, but I'm sure he will tell us. But I want to introduce Katsura Sunshine, who is performing Rakugo, Japanese Storytelling at Ground Floor Theater. Hello, Sunshine.
Hello.
You're
Thank
there.
Thank you so much for having me. I am here, yes, all the way from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Yeah, I was looking at your schedule today.
She said Dallas or Atlanta, so she was close.
You were all over the place.
We are. We're touring the United States. I have been performing traditional Japanese comic storytelling for 7 years now, once a month. On Broadway, and
I've
now
heard
we're
of
on
that
tour.
Place.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's great. So I am sure that many of my listeners are not familiar with Rakugo. Can you tell folks what that is?
Sure. Rakugo is a 400-year tradition of storytelling in Japan. The stories themselves have been passed down from master to apprentice through the ages up until the present day. And it's a lot like stand-up comedy. The first half of it is just the storyteller's own material. And the second half goes into a conversation between characters that ends in a punchline. And it's like a long conversational joke. And what you would see if you're watching Rakugo is a man or a woman, a lone storyteller in a kimono, kneeling on a cushion and using only a fan and hand towel for very minimal props, and just telling stories and making the audience laugh.
And I learned the Japanese words for those two things when I watched a video that you did.
Ah, you saw that one, yeah.
I did. And as a matter of fact, this is just a thing for my listeners. We're going to go out when we leave for the show today. At the end, we're going to play as much of that as we have time for, so people will be able to hear it themselves.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of fun, and you've got a lot of personality. How long, what caused you to get into this art form?
Yeah, I was born in Toronto, Canada, and was all out of university. I was doing show business, a playwright and composer, and I was concentrating on Greek theater, 2,500 years ago, like Greek comedy. And I read an article that Japanese theater and Greek theater had these similarities, so I went to Japan. Very typical story. I went to Japan on a whim, and ended up staying. Now I'm in my 27th year, still living in Tokyo, but. Along the way, when I knew some Japanese, maybe my fifth year there, a friend invited me to a performance of this Rakugo art form. And it was so funny and so compact. Like, you're using the audience's imagination to create a world from hundreds of years ago. And yet it's still funny and accessible and hilarious even today. So I just fell in love at first sight. I thought, this is what I was born to do.
So back then you saw this Rakugo in Japan.
I did.
Did you speak Japanese at the time? Was the performance in Japanese? How did this love get into your soul?
Yes. I, as I said, I had been there for 5 years. So I spoke some Japanese, enough to understand the show. And the show was in Japanese. Yeah, two storytellers each did two half-an-hour stories each. So it was about 2 hours. And so when you see four sets, then you kind of know what's going on. It was marvelous. And I thought to myself, even at that time, I thought this could easily be translated into English and it could work in Canada and in America. And so it really hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks.
Oh, that right sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
So you're going to be performing at Ground Floor Theater on Monday evening. Is it just you telling the stories? I know you bring your, there's some other folks with you. Will we hear multiple storytellers or just you?
Yeah. In order to become a professional storyteller, you have to do a very strict and traditional 3-year apprenticeship. And I went to my master's house every day for 3 years and did the laundry and cleaning, menial chores, like a real wax on, wax off.
I was going to absolutely go there.
It's absolutely where you go. It's absolutely accurate. And so now that I'm in my 17th year, I have my own apprentices. So my name is Sunshine, and you give your apprentices names that relate to your name by tradition. So I have four apprentices: Sunny, Moonlight, Sunlight, and Sunflower. And three of them are with me on this tour.
They all do like a short
performance of stories, but they also play shamisen, which is like a Japanese banjo, mm-hmm. and shamisen and the taiko drums that accompany the show. So everything is like live performance, all the way down to the music.
That's lovely. Could I convince you to let me be an intern for you, and I could be Overcast?
Katsura Overcast. That's an awesome name. I have to think of some good kanji for that.
Oh my gosh. So don't take Lisa. I'm the one that's learning and studying Japanese and obsessed with everything. My last name is Japanese. So take me. I know some Japanese.
Nicole, perfect.
You're on.
Nicole, as a matter of fact, she's unable to come to your performance because she is what
I
are,
have
what are
Japanese
doing?
Class that night. Nihongo ga sukoshi hanashimasu. Benkyou chuu desu.
Ah, subarashii. You should come to my show. You'll learn much more than in your Japanese class.
I will have makeup for hours if I don't go. So we'll see if I can get into my makeup class. I already asked Sensei. We'll see.
There you go. Well,
otherwise, next time we'll definitely be coming through again.
Yeah, we just have a few more minutes. Have you played Austin before?
Yes, we were through Texas and including Austin in February when the shows were under threat of being canceled because Texas got too cold.
I was like, the cold.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that does not happen here often.
February is the time.
It's not, my,
What?
It's not my image of Texas. I just think it was a danger being frozen out from a Texas show, but that's what happened. But the audience was amazing, and so happy to be back now.
Well, that's wonderful. I know we're expecting a really good house for you on Monday night.
Yeah.
Where can folks go to find out more information about you?
Do you mind if I give you my website?
That's what we're looking for. That's what I was queuing you for.
It's pretty easy to remember, yeah. It's Rakugo, R-A-K-U-G-O, Rakugo.lol, laugh out loud.
Yeah, I love that.
The extension. That's great.
Well,
yeah, I was so surprised when that came up.
Well, wonderful. Let me ask you one final question in terms of who sure. would come to see your show. Can I bring my kiddos to your shows?
Yes. Seven and up.
Seven and up. Okay.
I understood you. That was fantastic.
We will check.
I have my apprentices here, so they double check for me.
We will check IDs. Sunshine, it was so good talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you at Ground Floor Theater on Monday.
Thank you so much.
Hoping many of our listeners might want to join us as well.
Indeed.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll be waiting for you on Monday.
Thank you. Sunshine. Sayonara. Matane.
Sayonara. Arigato gozaimasu. Hai, matane. Arigato gozaimasu. Benkyo sasete itadakimasu.
Okay. Bye-bye. That was bye-bye. Katsura Sunshine. His show, Rakugo, Japanese Storytelling, will happen at Ground Floor Theater on the 29th. For more information, you may go to groundfloortheater.org or rakugo.lol. And this is from a show called Oh Brother, and it's called We Love an Old Story.
You mean that show you were in, Lisa? Yeah.
Oddly enough, there wasn't a lot of story songs.
But this yeah, I know. It, I love it. It's kismet.
We'll be right back.
That old story, loved it then. Love to hear it new all over again.
But fellas, that's
but
not...
with variations twisted about, so we're all kept guessing how it all turns out.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. I want to finish up early so we have enough time for people to hear
this Sunshine from Rakugo.
Yeah, so... So I do want to sign off.
Okay.
We had a great hour here about theater and
arts and all.
You know
the
what I didn't
happening?
Say? Boy, I'm a failure.
What
a great show Kim Simpson did. Kim J. Simpson did.
We didn't say that.
In
I
International
thought we did.
Folk Bazaar. I don't know that we did.
No, we were jamming out.
No, we were too busy talking about the disclaimer.
Oh.
It's so important.
It is.
But coming up next here on KOOP is Tracy Schultz. He is going to inform all of us what's new.
On what's new.
On what's
with
new.
With Tracy Schultz.
I'm going to just see what kind of time we're going to have to play, how much time this runs. Yeah, we'll play as much of this as we can.
Can we link the rest of it onto our website?
I don't see why not. Okay. I'll tack it onto the show. Yeah. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you'll hear the whole thing. All right, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, folks.
Bye.
Here is Katsura Sunshine.
So when I perform for many people who have not seen Rakugo before, and this is both in Japan and here in the United States or all over the world, usually start with a little bit of an explanation, and the explanation goes like this. When we perform Rakugo, we use only two props. I'll teach you a little bit of Japanese today. Please repeat after me. In Japanese, we call this sensu. Excellent pronunciation. Especially Japanese people. Very good. In English, we call this a fan. You don't have to say fan. I know you. Yeah. In Japanese, we call this tenugi. In English, we call this a hand towel. Excellent pronunciation. Very good. When we perform Rakugo, we wear special clothing. In Japanese, we call this a kimono. In English, we call this a kimono. When we perform Rakugo, we kneel in this very particular way. In Japanese, we call this seiza. In English, we call this punishment. Then if you have that much of an explanation, you're just pretty well ready to go. I would like to create a little bit of a Japanese atmosphere here today before you all, with you all, with your cooperation. When we begin storytelling shows in Japan, we start with a greeting to the audience called Aisatsu. And in Japan, when the storyteller goes to bow at the end of this Aisatsu, it is a signal to the audience, if the audience is an elite audience, to break out into thunderous applause and to yell Japanese words like "Matte mashita," which means "We've been waiting for you." Even if I haven't particularly kept you waiting, you still yell this. So I'll do the aisatsu in Japanese. I'll translate everything that I do in Japanese this evening into English for those of you who don't speak Japanese. But in Japanese, the aisatsu goes like this. Are you ready to start? Japanese atmosphere right here. In Japanese, we say this. Minasama go raijou itadaki arigatou gozaimasu. Atsuku onrei o moshiagemasu. Watakushi kou mietemo rakugo ka nan desu. Katsura Sanshi. Aratame rukudai Katsura Bunshi no 15 ban me no deshi no Katsura San ni kagayaku to kakemashite. Katsura Sunshine de gozaimasu. Dozo yoroshiku onegai itashimasu.
Very elite audience. I never get that response in Japan. Thank you so much. I'm glad I had you do that. So the same greeting translated directly into English goes something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. So sometimes English is a little bit shorter. Then we have other standard greetings in Japan that we use all the time at formal occasions, including storytelling shows like this. Minasama toi tokoro kara o izogashii naka okoshii itadakimashite kyoshuku de gozaimasu. In English, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to express to you at this time my sincerest gratitude for you having taken the trouble today to come and see me from a faraway place at a busy time in your lives. So sometimes English is longer. Now, this is no problem. In Japan, we use this kind of greeting at formal occasions all the time. Minasama toi tokoro kara o izogashii naka. Faraway place, busy time in your lives. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the trouble to come. Toi tokoro kara o izogashii naka. Use it all the time. Nobody thinks twice about it. Doesn't always work in every other country. I was performing about 8 years ago in my hometown of Toronto in Canada for about 1,000-seat theater. Beautiful theater, the Winter Garden Theater. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming from a faraway place at a busy time in your lives. And one little boy in the third row stood up and called out to me, "Oi, Sunshine, I'm not busy. If I was busy, I would not be coming here to see you."